Can you hear me?
That's good.
All right, everybody, start taking your seats. Get everybody to take a seat when you can. Get started here. All right, that was good. That was pretty quick. Well, hello, I'm Brenda Ostenfeld, and I'm president of the National Property Practice for RT Specialty. I'm excited today to have this opportunity to introduce this afternoon's keynote speaker, one of the true great leaders in the insurance industry, Patrick G. Ryan. I personally have been fortunate to work with Pat Ryan in my days at Aon in the past, as well as now at Ryan Turner Specialty, after building the wholesale firm Westrope, and we sold to Pat Ryan. Pat Ryan is a widely respected entrepreneur and global insurance leader who formerly formed Ryan Specialty Group. He formed that company in 2010, and RSG is an international holding company which includes RT Specialty as the wholesale operation, also 19 highly specialized underwriting companies and specialty service designed for brokers, agents, and insurers. Our company has access to various offices throughout the North America as well as the United Kingdom. Prior to launching RSG, Mr. Ryan founded Aon and was the chairman and CEO for 41 years. At Mr. Ryan's retirement, Aon had more than 500 offices in 120 countries with revenues then in excess of $7 billion. Mr. Ryan has received a number of accolades throughout his career. In 1987, Pat received the esteemed Horatio Alger Award, which honors those who are dedicated to the principles of integrity, hard work, perseverance, and compassion for others. In 2008, Pat was inducted into the American Academy of Arts and Science, one of the nation's oldest and most prestigious honorary societies, and independent research centers, which was founded in 1780. Also in 2008, he was elected to the International Insurance Society for and Hall of Fame and received the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Lifetime Achievement Award. He was named by Brigham Young University International Executive of the Year for Corporate Integrity. Other career tributes include Insurance Leader of the Year for St. John's, as well as the Insurance Federation of New York's Free Enterprise Award. Those are just a few of the things he's been awards. Mr. Ryan has been a member of the Northwestern University Board of Trustees for 37 years, of which 14 years he served as the chairman. In 2009, Northwestern awarded Pat a Doctrine of Humane Letters degree. Also that year, Pat was inducted that year into the Northwestern Athletic Hall of Fame. 4 years later, in 2013, Mr. Ryan received the Northwestern Alumni Association Medal of Honor. This award is the highest award granted by the Northwestern Alumni Association to an alumnus who combines superior professional distinction and/or exemplary service to society with an outstanding record of service to Northwestern. Mr. Ryan has received numerous insurance and community awards and also served as chairman and of the Chicago 2016 Olympic Bid Committee. Anyone that knows Pat knows he loves Chicago and Chicago sports. He's a proud Cubs fan and also part owner of the Bears. These are just a few of the highlights of the amazing career with so many more to come. I'm honored to introduce my leader, my partner, and my friend, Pat Ryan.
Thank you.
That's really one of the better introductions, maybe the best introduction I've ever had. Thank you, Brenda. One thing about getting older is that you can have cataract eye surgery. So that's not me anymore. Except people say to me, get your glasses back. You got these bags under your eyes, dark circles. You can't see them with the glasses. But I'm not going to wear the glasses. So let me say it's really good to be here. I think it's an interesting time to be here. And I only reflect on that as to what was said here in New York yesterday at an S&P conference by some carriers about giving the pen to brokers. I think the quote was, giving the keys to the inmates to run the asylum. Kind of funny, but not really. Not really. So I'm not going to talk about that quite yet, but I'm going to reference that. But what I'd like to do is set the stage, and Brenda talked about starting Ryan Specialty Group after my 41 years at Aon. And what isn't well known is that the first company that was the foundation for what became Aon, later name changed to Aon, was in fact an MGU. So I come by this interest in the E&S market, wholesale and managing underwriting facilities, with a long perspective on what that has meant to the industry. And when I was getting ready to retire from Aon, I actually thought about buying Swett & Crawford, because we were selling Swett & Crawford, and all the bids were low balls. And I was going to just stay long enough for Greg Case get his sea legs. But the board said, you've got to stay until we tell you that it's time. So I didn't buy Swett & Crawford, but I knew what I wanted to do. I knew that there was going to be a great future in the E&S market. And that the E&S market, although really in the late 90s, was only 1% in 99, bottom of that soft market, only 1% of the commercial insurance market. So it wasn't a big factor. But I really believed that it was going to become a growing factor, and that, in fact, has happened. Because in 16, well, in 99, the premiums were $7 billion in the E&S market. In 15, in 16, it's now 11, the E&S market is 11% of the total commercial market. So you can do the multiplier on that. And there were less than a handful of wholesale-only markets in 1999. Now, you'll remember that there was all of this consolidation activity that went on back then. And in fact, the E&S market was really at its low point. And yet, a lot of us believed that that was temporary and it was going to change, and was changing by the time I wanted to buy Swett. So now, they're actually somewhere in the mid-60s. Of wholesale-only carriers in the E&S market. So what's happened? It's become a much more sophisticated market using data and analytics and creating significant specialties. When people ask me what I do that's different from what I did, it's that we're really in the specialty insurance business. And they try to figure out, well, are you really competing with Aon? And they're trying to get a sense, because they can't figure out what a wholesaler does. So I know what a wholesaler does. Brings great value to the retail broker and to the insured, and has differentiating skills, differentiating intellectual capital, and has access to markets that can bring really creative solutions on many high hazard risks, but lots of industry that you all know about. So the other issue that I learned and believed in is that the wholesale market can be very nimble because they have to respond very quickly as the risk is brought to them. So there's an agility, a nimbleness, if that's a good word, a responsiveness, and often entrepreneurial cultures so that they are responsive and attract people who want to build something of value. And so we believe that at RSG and RT, we have an entrepreneurial culture. We have people who are specialists. But I'm not going to do a commercial for RSG, but I want to start and talk really about why we made these investments that have been significant in creating intellectual property, hiring experts in different specialties, and investing in new facilities. And it's because we saw these changes, we believe that, in fact, these changes were going to take place and this growth was going to be there, and it has been. And so bringing resources to the E&S market has been a major part of our strategy and a major part of the success that we've had to date. So we look at it that we're always partnering with the retail broker to bring value add to the insured. So what are the value adds? Specialty expertise, as I mentioned, in both underwriting and distribution. A lot of innovation. There's a lot of innovation that comes through the E&S market, and driven by the carriers, but driven very much by the wholesale brokers. And then innovation for complex risks, and also we bring access to this great capital pool that is both stable and secure. And if you look at the financials of the industry, you'll see that a lot of E&S companies lead in many ways in terms of returns, combined ratios. And we say that we do all of this at no additional cost. Now people say that doesn't make any sense. That can't be. You must be charging additional, adding additional costs. We see it in the distribution numbers. But in fact, the very highly respected Conningham Company, commissioned by NAPSLO, did a study and proved that it is not additional cost. Now, why is that? Because this process of the wholesale broker and the managing underwriting facilities actually take operating costs out of the equation. They take them out of the carrier costs. So that is where we're getting these lower combined ratios, higher profitability. So the critics kind of miss the point. The critics say there's additional commission, so obviously it costs more. There's the wholesale commission. But when you look at the actual total cost factor, it's not just the distribution we should be looking at, but we should be looking at all the costs that get offloaded to the brokers. So in addition to that, these are all variable costs. So one of the great benefits of the E&S market is that if they don't get the business, they don't pay. The variable cost is a terrific way to run a business. And not a lot of sunk costs compared to the admitted market. So we look at that as a differentiator, and that with these variable costs and the reduction of expenses, the opportunity for the wholesaler and the retailer to partner to benefit the client, to benefit the insured, is enhanced. Another very, very important change over these last number of years is the importance of managing underwriting facilities. And here's where I think the MGUs have really brought a great value to the marketplace. In many cases, they're able to put down much larger lines. That has helped the insured, which is, at the end of the day, what we should all be about. And then, through the underwriting facility, supported by a consortium of other capital providers, that can bring and build greater limits and bring the value add to the client that they deserve. And then, a new phenomenon, and you're seeing this within several of these underwriting facilities, a vehicle for the capital providers, the alternative capital providers, I should say, to bring their capital to bear. And so it's been an equation to get carriers to be able to bring greater capacity to the marketplace by bringing also reinsurance capital into play. Now, in one of these quotes yesterday, they talked about the tragedy of reinsurers supporting managing underwriters. But the reality of it is that reinsurers have a lot of unallocated capital because a lot of admitted carriers are buying a lot less reinsurance. And what are they going to do? They want to get closer to the buyer. And so they're supporting managing underwriting facilities, which is a good thing for the insured. So we have capital market access, we have reinsurance capital access, and we have the consortium of E&S carriers, including London. And that all is providing solutions to vexing problems for insureds. Now, as to the quotes from yesterday, I think people miss the boat when they say brokers should not be given the pen. Brokers really are not given the pen. Organizations that might be or are, in fact, a subsidiary of a broker organization. But these are full-fledged underwriting facilities with, in our case, we believe, in just about every case, top decile quality underwriters. These are not brokers. They are underwriters. And they're at the top of their game. And so when they say there's an underwriting facility giving the pen to the broker, they're not really aware of the fact that these people are really fully fledged, experienced underwriters. And take very, very seriously their obligation to the capital provider to return a profit. As a matter of fact, and I'm fine with this, but our underwriters are really concerned about their personal brand. We're not hiring people who don't know the game. We're hiring experienced, talented people, and they don't want to damage their brand or their reputation. So this is just the exact opposite of giving the keys to the inmates of the asylum, which was the quote. So I think it's really important for people to focus in on who is really doing the underwriting and what are these delegated authorities really all about. They're about skilled underwriters. They're about people with specialty skills, specially intellectual property, and are in fact doing a really good job for their capital providers, for the brokers, and for the brokers' clients. So when I look at our underwriters, and I look at the underwriters of others in our space, so I look at Arrowhead, and I see what Arrowhead achieved, bringing consortium capital to the quake needs of industry. I look at AmRisc, another consortium approach to providing important capital to property risks, where it is, in fact, again, consortium. So they're spreading the risk. This is the old definition of insurance. What is insurance, after all, but spreading the risk into quantifiable appetites. And that's what these facilities do. Now, are you giving the pen to brokers when you deal with Amherst? Not a chance. Are you giving the pen to Dan Peed? He deserves the pen. Are you giving the pen to Lou DeFuria? He deserves the pen. Are you giving it to Kieran Dempsey and Nancy McMahon and our healthcare business? These are really sophisticated underwriters. So some good friends have got it wrong, and I'm here to rebut them. So that's why I say it was a prescient time for me to be on this program, because, you know, we just can't let that misperception be out there. So as I look at the future, and we have a lot of clients who say to us, bring us more facilities. Bring us the ability to solve more needs. You say, well, why isn't the total underwriting industry solving all those needs? Well, I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that there are a lot of entrepreneurial talent who like the idea of building something of value where they can make a real impact. And so that mobility in the underwriting world is in many ways solved by virtue of these underwriting facilities, because they come in and they're out of the culture of the carrier. They can be nimble, they can be work very closely in a granular way on the risk. I know, Duncan, you've told me over different periods of time how you've worked with in just that way. So these are, in fact, the Brown and Brown facilities, the Gallagher facilities, the CRC facilities, the RSG facilities. We have a great property facility called Windward, led by Nathan Ward, who many of you would know, but he's a top first-class underwriter and one who can really help solve that client's problems. So I just want to finish that point by saying, when you say give the keys to the insane, that's probably insulting. It's more than pejorative. But it's the tone at the top of these organizations. It's the underwriter who's got the pride, but it's also the tone at the top. Does Powell Brown say, we want you to have an underwriting profit? Does Pat Gallagher say that? Do the people at CRC say that? Of course they do, because these are long-term investments, long-term commitments, and I submit are extremely valuable to the ultimate insureds. So we should keep that in mind. We should also learn to count. We should learn to count what is called an acquisition cost, but in fact absorbs a lot of operating costs. And that it's not just, don't look at just the label on an expense. So the lessons of history get forgotten too often. So I'll give you a lesson of history that I experienced personally. When they say it's a disaster to give the pens to brokers, they're going way back in history, and they're saying, do you remember when A&A got in so much financial trouble? Frank B. Hall got in so much financial trouble? Other carriers, because they had carriers. Those were not open markets. Those were captive. They were using them as captive facilities. And these, what I just described, are all open markets managed by important underwriting talent. So there are danger signs when you give some wrong people the pen. But one danger sign is if it's not an open market. Another danger sign is the tone at the top. So you have to look at what that institution is all about, look at the history and quality of the underwriters, and you'll see that, in fact, these are not negatives, these are positives. So I think it's really important. I was supposed to tape this, and I forgot to press the button. So here we are, halfway through. No, we're actually almost, I've only got 5 minutes left. It's for my wife. My wife wants everything I say taped. I'm not sure what that's about. But I forgot to tape it, Brenda. I didn't press the button. So, anyhow. So I think the open market is a really critical thing. So I would just sum that point up by saying that MGUs offer stability to the underwriters, the entrepreneurial opportunity, and I think this additional capital, even though people say there's too much capital, it's driven down premiums, you know, we need capital. We're in a capitalist society. We're an industry that needs capital, and we should welcome capital, and we should provide the opportunity for capital allocation and commitment. So I'll close by saying, in getting everybody into the E&S market, as you look at your clients, as you look at bringing them the full market, always keep in mind that the E&S market has all these wonderful attributes that truly bring new capital, additional capital, and a lot of skills to the vexing problems that we face. There's lots of complicated issues out there. They're growing in number and severity, and lack of really understanding in many cases. So it's, at the end of the day, we all have the responsibility to serve our clients, to serve the insured, I should say, without conflict. And I'm closing my case by saying that's what's being done by a tremendous sector of the industry called the E&S and wholesale managing underwriting space that we're proud to be a part of. Thank you. So I'll take my tape recorder.